Well, hey, everybody, welcome. This is Dave. I really appreciate your enthusiasm and all of you who are here. I sent around an email that you may not have gotten yet. I sent it as soon as I had a confirmation of the people who would be here. There are two questions that I'd like you to think about and get back to me by email as soon as you have an answer. One, what's the most important question you want answered during this series? And secondly, if you were to walk away from this seminar series saying it's one of the best you've ever attended, what would you walk away with? And if you didn't see this and haven't done it right now, immediately, as soon as I quit talking for a second, before you listen any further, write the title of the book you intend to write, or the one that you're in the process of writing. Just write the title. If you have it, write down the subtitle. The title tells and sells. The subtitle is what the benefits people will get when they read it. But just write down what you have. Remember, this is for your eyes only. So, I appreciate all of you managing the background noise. I'm going to ask you to be really persnickety about that because I want to have a period for discussion at the beginning and the end for questions and discussion and feedback. And if you manage the background noise, stay on mute, star six, until you're ready to talk, and then unmute and go for it. So here's a beginning. Let me mention too just some of the housekeeping things. These will all be recorded. They'll be posted at the site, the link that I gave you or that you got when you registered or that I gave you as a playback. There are four ports for the playback: the art, the craft, the science, and the business of writing a story, each of those four. There's also an annotated outline with some work tools and resources that I think it'll be helpful if you print that because you won't have to write as much because I'm looking at and going from that outline too. So we're sort of looking at the same thing. So first, and I want to ask for any questions or any answers to any of those questions that you want to just shout out right now. But first, consider this. Imagine that you invented a device that can record your memories, your dreams, your ideas, and transmit them to my brain or someone else's brain. That would be a game-changing technology, right? Now, we already possess that device. It's called storytelling. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, and developing a systematic way to tell your story in an effective way to bring about the kind of impact that you want, first for you, because that's why we write after all, to see what we have to say, and we write for us. Then, hopefully, somebody else is going to be interested. So that's something to consider. So anybody want to answer either of those questions just briefly right now before we move into the material? I'll put us on lecture mode when we do that. But any thoughts or any feedback or any answers to those questions right now? What do you most want to take away, and what would you most like to focus on? Anyone?
This is Rob. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I heard Rob. Go ahead, and I'll come back to whoever I didn't hear.
Okay. So, Dr. Kruger, the answer to your first question is I indicated that I want to get my book reviewed and marketed to produce the optimal sales. So that's what I would like to walk away with from this series. I'd like to know how to do that or know if I'm on the right track for that.
Okay. All right, great. And, Rob, I'll keep talking to you if you call me Dave. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Well, thank you. That's great. That's a notable objective. Who else spoke? Who I didn't hear?
Dave, this is Hugh. My first answer is My answer to the first question is can I write this book? The second one is knowing I can write it and having a step-by-step process to do it.
Okay. I think you're asking the right question in number two. Number one has to be a resounding yes for you to do it. But here's what we're going to talk about. You captured the secret right at the beginning. Whenever you want to create something new, whenever you want to change a habit or create a new habit or a new behavior, focus on the system, not the goal. Everybody wants to write a book. Everybody wants to get wealthy. Focus on the system. That's exactly what we're going to be doing. And all of you in coaching know that. That's our specialty, is the choice architecture and focusing on the system. And that means that we actually specialize in change and understanding. So those are great questions, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about how to do that. Because, you know, think about it. Nobody ever sits down to write a book. If they did that, every time they sat down, they'd be a failure. If they sat down and had a goal of writing 250 words, one page. Now, if you have a system to do that every day from 7 till 8:15 in the morning or whatever it is, guess what? After 1 year, you got a rough draft of 365 pages. So those are the kind of things we'll be talking about, more reasonable examples, but that's the essence of it. So you know all my secrets up front. Any other response to those quiz?
Yes.
This is Jennifer Yeager.
Okay. Jennifer,
Marianne, go ahead. I heard Marianne. Is that correct?
Yes, Maria. I have a question, and it's not one or two, related to one or two, but it's a question, it's real. And I want to write things that are real, things that had happened to me. And there are other characters involved. And I would like to know what are the restrictions, or I can say, what kind of boundaries do I need to keep when I'm writing those? Thank you, David.
Okay. We'll come back to that, and I'll work it in. I really appreciate the responses that many of you have already sent in and hopefully will send in. That helps to guide and direct some of my discussion. You see in the outline that I have the things that I think will be helpful to cover, but I really take your messages and the kinds of questions you ask to shape and guide some of the discussion, some of the illustrations, so that it can be of optimum benefit to you. So I really appreciate your feedback and your interaction. Plus, think about how we didn't have much of a chance for this in terms of time beforehand, but think about, like, I mentioned in classes I do at CTA, when you do a sample session, give someone an idea of what's going to happen so the process can begin before it starts, such as, I'm going to ask you to focus on something that is specific that would be of benefit to you and have an idea of where you'd like us to get to. So, boom, for the 3 days that they wait to call you for that sample session, they've already been working. That establishes a process. So this can establish a process, and we'll develop it with our meetings, and hopefully you'll do that between the times with the tools and the resources that you've downloaded. There was another question, and then we need to get to our material. Someone else spoke at the same time as Maria?
I'll ask.
Go ahead.
This is Anthony from Boston. How are you doing, Dave?
Great. How are you?
All right. I was trying to get in, but I'm going to take this opportunity. I want to have a better complete understanding, actually, of the process involved in marketing my book. My book is done. It's in LA being edited, but I have no. Like, I need the next step on how to market it, basically. Agent,
okay.
All that. Publishing company, or do I self-promote? I don't know.
Okay, that's an entire seminar. The art, the craft, the business.
Yep. Exactly.
The business is about all the things that comprise exactly what you're talking about. So, yeah, we will definitely talk about that.
Okay.
So, super. Thank you for that. And please feel free to email me back with your responses. I take them very seriously, and it means a great deal when I have some of the things specifically that you're interested in so that I can include that and bring that into focus in some ways as we talk. So I'm going to go on lecture mode. I'll reserve some time at the end for us to come back and have a discussion. So jot down any questions or clarifications that you have.
Dave, before you do that.
Okay, we're first going to talk about the art of writing. It's been said that just about every smart, sensitive person has a desire to write a book because writing is a natural way for a contemporary person to learn, to express, to integrate, and at times to really feel alive. In fact, more than 80% of adults in America say they want to publish. Just over 1% actually do. And that 1% includes everything, articles, editorials, not just books. Books are don't even make the single digits. So first decide if you have a message, a blog series, an article, a white paper, or a book. A message is a written or spoken communication of an idea or point of view. An article can convey a message. A short series of blog posts can succinctly spread even a complex message. A nonfiction book, though, builds a case. It develops and illustrates a theme. The book needs a story to hold its richness. It carries the reader along its course of reason, illustrating the applications. And the story evolves with complexity and depth. The irony, and this is an adumbration of what we'll talk about in marketing, the irony, as Seth Godin points out, the market demands that you summarize your book in a blog post. So we'll come back to the basic rules of writing that he's referring to. So traditional advice has been to write about what you know. Now, for me, here's another more exciting and creative possibility. Write to see what you have to say. Write about what you most want or need to learn. Here's an illustration of that. At a conference many years ago when I was still practicing psychoanalysis, I was talking with a friend. We had just heard a really rousing, if you can think of it as rousing, psychoanalytic paper. To me, at that time, it was rousing. At the time. And talking to a friend who was an excellent clinician, we were discussing the paper that we had just heard, and I asked when he was going to write a paper, because I thought he was brilliant, and he didn't have any publications at the time. He said, well, I'm going to wait until I'm sure I have something to say. Well, I knew at that moment he would never present a paper or write a paper at any conference or any journal. Now, those of you who have trained or mentored, coached with me, know that not knowing anything has never stopped me from talking. Now, we're going to discuss how to write in a systematic, structured way for effective and successful results. We'll talk about what happens next when you schedule an appointment with yourself to write. So, basically, as I mentioned, we're going to discuss the art, the craft, the science, and finally, the business of authoring your book. In short, how to tell and sell your story. First, commitment. A prerequisite is to have a game plan, a commitment to stick with it. Those of you who have done training or worked with me in mentor coaching have likely heard my analogy of how you do not need to be motivated to do something. How many of you have heard somebody say, well, I just want to motivate to exercise, to work out, to eat a better diet? You don't need to get motivated. All you need is a plan and to stick to it. I've worked with a number of pro athletes, and actors. They get up and they go to the gym every day, not because they're motivated. They're not motivated to, but they do it because they know they need to in order to do what's next. So make a commitment with a game plan, a system. And you know the words of somebody who's not committed. I'll try. I need to. I should. I ought to. I want to. The words of somebody committed, I will. One of the great philosophers of the 20th century said, try not, do or do not, there is no try. That was Yoda, of course, in The Empire Strikes Back. And think about the difference between a 99% commitment and a 100% commitment. Here's the Texas version of that. A fish has no use for a lake that has water 99% of the time. USA Today did a study on people who made New Year's resolutions. They found two groups, those who made a New Year's resolution and wrote it down, and those who made one but neglected to write it down. Those who didn't put their goal in writing, 4% kept it. Those who wrote their resolution, 44% kept it. Why do you think that is? Whenever we put something in the output channel, it completes the cycle in our brain. A very simple study. Recently, University of Waterloo, two groups read the same passage in a book, one silently, one out loud, then they took a test. The ones that read it out loud did 40% better on the test. They had completed the cycle. Instead of just the passive input, they had selected and consciously put it in an output channel, at least to read. And having an output channel is what we began to think about as a commitment and write it down. So when you write down a commitment, it can produce a tenfold difference of follow-through. So first, write your commitment to complete your book. Neuroscience teaches that the brain works like a travel agent. The first two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there, even if you use a virtual travel agent these days on the Internet? Where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? Program your brain to complete your book by a certain date. How much do you really want to tell and sell your story? One author had a collection of heartwarming stories that he thought would make a good book. He shopped his idea to every publisher he could find. No success. He shopped it to 141 publishers, was rejected by every one of them. He believed in his book, though, but he was repeatedly told that it just wouldn't appeal to audiences. So he decided to publish it himself and began selling it out of the back of his car. It had a really goofy title, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I personally heard Jack Canfield tell this story. And have read it since. At last count, he sold over $1.5 billion worth of books. So, how do you write a book? Well, consider a related question. A couple of you have done this exercise with me. A group of executives here in Houston some time ago asked me to present a seminar, to do a workshop with them, actually, on writing a first book. There were 24 of them. The first thing I did when I got to the podium was to ask them to do an exercise with me after I asked this question. How many of you in the last month have seen a yellow Jeep? They kind of looked around like we're paying this guy for this. One person raised his hand. I said, let's do an exercise. And let's do this briefly. Get very comfortable in your chair, very relaxed. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in of relaxation, breathing out any tension. With your eyes closed, imagine walking to a yellow Jeep. Look at all the detail, the paint, the tires, the bumper. As you walk around behind it, look at the detail and around the other side. And the front, look at the grill and the lights. And as you walk around to the door to open it for the driver, feel the firm, cool grip in your hand of the door handle. As you sit in the seat, notice what it's like to see through the windshield, grab the steering wheel. Notice the smell, how firmly the seat holds you. As you start the engine, feel the vibration. Listen to the sound of it. Look through the windshield as if you were driving it. Look at the dash panel. Now, as you turn it off and get outside the Jeep, listen for how firmly it sounds when you close the door. As you walk away, look back one more time and take in the entire picture of that yellow Jeep. I asked the group then, if anyone happened to see a yellow Jeep in the next week, would they let me know? Email, telephone call, message. In the first 3 days, 22 of the 24 had seen a yellow Jeep. So, what happened? What someone sees, what we see, what appears on the radar screen of what we actually perceive is coded beforehand. The yellow Jeep was programmed as possibility. The most common reason people don't write a book is they don't believe they really can. Or if they do, they don't devise a specific plan and stick to it. It's the same reason people don't earn significant money and accumulate wealth. They don't see themselves capable of it. I can tell you how much money people are going to make by listening to their assumptions. Once you genuinely see yourself completing your book, then all sorts of things begin to happen. You've already coded your radar for writing your book by signing on for our collaboration here together and listening right now. And we're going to discuss how to evolve that vision. So here's a brief exercise on choice. And remember, we're on lecture mode, so you can talk out loud. This is based on the principle that it takes just as much energy to construct a negative belief as it does to create a positive belief. And do this exercise with me. It's going to feel a little goofy, but do it anyhow. I'd like you to say out loud two things you can't do. For example, I can't finish this article I'm writing. I can't get the clutter out of my office. Two things out loud that you can't do. Now, I'd like you to restate each of these two, but substitute won't for can't. I won't finish this article I'm writing. I won't get the clutter out of my office. So say that out loud, substituting won't. Now, I'd like you to say, and this is the last one, I promise, I'd like you to say this sentence out loud three times. I am always free to change my mind. Say it out loud three times. May sound a little gimmicky, but as you hear yourself saying it, there were two or three psychoanalytic patients back in the day that I asked to say that, and they had remarkable results. So now you're aware of choice. All you have to do is the next right thing. Once you begin thinking about your specific book, you begin to hear things in different ways. You begin to hear examples. You begin to think stories. Incidents become vignettes. Ideas begin to crystallize. You think about what you want to say and become aware of how you want to say it. You become an even better listener, which makes you a better speaker. So, again, this caveat that I mentioned in one way earlier, nobody ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences, maybe a page. You have a plan, and you stick to it. Mozart never sat down to write an opera. He had a medley in his head, and he let it speak to him until the story of the music emerged, and he captured it. Let me give you a very simple example. after McGraw-Hill published The Secret Language of Money, or as they were about to publish it, rather, they nudged me in no uncertain terms to do a blog. I never had an interest in doing a blog because I thought this is exactly what the world needs, is one more unedited piece out there. But they prevailed. I started a blog, and interestingly, I began to see all kinds of things bloggable. I began to get really immersed in writing that blog. It happened to fit sort of the neuroeconomics and the money psychology of the book, and I did it, you know, sort of focused in that way. And I began to see and think about all sorts of things because I had coded my radar for that and begun to listen in that way in addition to some other things I was doing. And what happened was the blogs over the next 3 or 4, probably closer to 5 years, then comprised almost 50% of the basis of the sequel to The Secret Language of Money. So it was repurposed. It was a process. And that's what I mean by, that's why I ask you to write the, right now at least, this is, you don't have to stick to it, the title of your book. So you've cued your radar to begin to think about things, to read about certain things, and as we'll talk later, to set up Google alerts for the kinds of things that you want across your desk every day to see if you want to make a copy of it to read. I have over 24 Google alert topics that I get emails from the world literature. So that's something we'll return to. So perseverance. The most important thing about a goal is having one. The most important thing about a plan is to stick with it. Wisdom is to know the right path, and integrity is to take it. A clearly defined goal can capture imagination and inspire passion. One extra degree of effort in business and in life separates the good from the great. 51 publishers turned down Richard Bach's Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He took it to number 52. To get what you've never had, you'll probably have to do what you've never done. Lord Eliot put this very simply. He said, perseverance is not a long race, but many short races, one after another. So here are some guiding questions to clarify as you begin to write. What you want to write, what you want to gain, and who you want to reach. So here are some reflections for you to begin your first book, before your first chapter even. One, write for a specific preferred audience. Now, you may want everybody to read it, but remember how in the beginning you wanted to coach everybody? And it felt like an amputation to narrow it down to even a part of the population, of the a subset of the population of the world, until you finally got to a niche. When you have a specific audience, you're speaking to them. And it's a conversation. It's a relationship. That's why, for me being a talker, I dictate everything. I have a digital dictation device. Everything I've ever written, from complex emails through, you know, white papers, books, anything, begins with talking it. Now, we'll come back to this for you to look at what's your best style and what's going to work best for you. Two, envision your audience. You are going to speak directly to them to engage them in a conversation. When you can envision them, or imagine the interaction, whatever your style is. You may not be visual, you may be auditory, you may be kinesthetic, or any number of other different systems to look at that, but have a way of engaging and immersing yourself in a communication, ideally a conversation, I'd say, with your audience. You can always edit stuff later. That's two different parts of the brain, writing and creative writing and editing. So don't try to mix them up. You're just talking to somebody now. Think about it like in the old days when you sit down and have a drink with somebody. You don't have any problem thinking about what to say or questions you ask. You're just immersed. immersed in the flow. Write a focused, compelling, understandable, and enjoyable conversation. What is your aha, your good news? What will your book do uniquely well? You may want to think about focus groups, people who can help feedback or access to information you might not have otherwise, or can creatively brainstorm with you. And lastly, an initial step to create your book is to fully accept the reality of the process of writing and to evolve your identity as an author. Because that's the most powerful reason that we do things, is we do things consistent with our identity. I'll share a personal experience that was pivotal for me to give you an illustration of this. I was writing the first person, this was when I was still practicing psychiatry, psychoanalysis, way before mentor coaching. And this was the first personal book I had written. Everything else was professional. I was writing Making Memories, Reflections on Parenting from the Heart of a Father and the Mind of a Psychoanalyst. It was basically my therapy when my oldest was about a year and a half before leaving home for college and then followed in a couple of years by my daughter, both of them abandoning me. So I knew I needed to do something and not involve them, not burden them with my process. And this was it, and it worked. I went to the Iowa Summer Writers Workshop and shared with my group my dilemma, since I was still practicing psychoanalysis. I wanted to write from my heart, and I needed to use examples from my experience as a parent, but I didn't want to burden my present and future psychoanalytic patients with knowing too much about me personally. Psychoanalysts think that you got to remain anonymous to be a blank screen, and that way patients project things onto you and you know more about them. So you just got to be there. Trust me, it was a big deal to think about this in that way. And I got some immensely helpful feedback from the group and from the well-known writer who was doing it. When you're writing, you're not an analyst, you're not a father, you're an author. Write like your subtitle says, from your heart and your mind. Immensely useful and freeing. Another, you are thinking and feeling a book into existence. Then you'll craft it into a powerful message with a memorable story. What you imagine guides what you do. You learn what your book is about by writing and thinking about it. And lastly, you get your book done well by willing yourself to plan, organize, think, revise, and tolerate confusion and uncertainty. Basically, you do whatever it takes. So, here's an exercise. Let's come back to this exercise to address. No, let's do it now, because I remember two or three of your questions about writer's block and that sort of thing. Schedule a brainstorming session with yourself to do this. I will send a one-page document to you to do this sort of officially and see. But for right now, it's important for you as an author to identify and address any obstacles that stand in your way. Examples include interfering self-talk, writer's block, anxiety about the unknown, feeling like you don't know enough, worrying about inexperience, anything that follows you, you're stopping yourself. You're stopping yourself is always the first step. Then it gets filled with all the negative self-talk and the lack of confidence and all that. So make 4 vertical columns on a page. Draw 3 vertical lines. Title the left column, Emotional Triggers. Now, look at anything that may set you into a cycle of stuckness or rumination or negativity, like saying, well, I've never written a book before. I don't know how to do it. This is too much. I don't know where to start. title this column Emotional Trigger. The second column, title it Usual Response. Now, in this column, your usual response to each trigger is some behavior that may be negative and may seem to be the reason it stops you. I've never written a book before. I don't know how to do it. I don't think it'll sell. Those are not reasons. Those are all in the time capsule of the negative self-talk or the reasons that make it make sense to stop. Now, title the third column, State Change. Get grounded and centered so that you have a way to get totally grounded and centered and have access to all of your information. And then have a fourth column that is ideal behavior, what you'd really like to do so that you can convert each emotional trigger to an ideal response or behavior. There's a 30-minute free webinar. And the reason I'm not spending any more time, and this is a totally insufficient explanation here, and I realize that, this is homework if you elect to do it. There's a 30-minute free webinar on the homepage of MentorPath called Master States of Mind, and it explains with some illustration this very process that we're talking about. I believe that it is the most important thing that you can master as a mentor coach, because it's going to be the thing that is going to be most helpful to all of your clients in some way or another. So with that preface, I'll just say I'd recommend it. So let's talk about the who, what, where, when, and how of writing. Who? Who is it you write for? As you scan the horizon, your best and most authentic answer first is yourself. When you speak in writing, you do to an intended audience. So who's your audience? If you can, identify specifically the audience, the group of people, the niche you will address. The more specifically you envision the reader, the more meaningfully you'll be able to speak. John Updike said, I write to the person a little to the left and below the center of Kansas. He expanded a little more than that, but one strategy is to envision a persona, a characterization of the ideal reader, and to develop that persona fully. Who that person is, location, age, occupation, marital, family status. By the time you've developed two or three ideal personas of your intended audience, you have an idea of who you'll going to be speaking to. Your conversation comes alive as you talk to them, and it makes it easy to connect, to create a conversation, and to have a community. As I mentioned, everything I've ever written, I'm speaking to people who I know and have come to see their habits, their watering holes, what their challenges are. We'll return to that. The what. You have to respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs. Provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible. And be attuned to what someone else wants and needs. Now, these are the three components of every story. This is not your outline, but I want to mention it right here. The three components of every story, and that includes a sample session, that includes any book you pick off the shelf, that includes our conversation today and the next three times, and in an overview of the four, challenge, development, and resolution. For you to get attuned to who you're talking to or writing for, you have to know their challenge. What is going to appeal to them? In coaching, it's what's their challenge? What can they not do or be themselves that you're going to help them with? So every story, though, has a challenge. And it's one of the things that I ask you guys about. What would you most like to focus on? What would you most like to take away? You're telling me the challenges that you bring and that likely if I can address those in a sufficient way, will bring the greatest benefit to you. So what we're doing now is the development, and then the resolution is partly how you put all of that together for your solution and your plan. And that's not one big ending crescendo. That's something we're doing all along, step by step. So you're not in the business of finding readers for your words. You're in the business of finding words for your readers. Here's a what exercise. What are you trying to communicate? Again, everything you answer needs to be in a very few words. One of the Bibles of writing, the art of writing, Zenzer, said there are four rules of good writing: clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. Those are also the rules of good speaking. And what we know now from neuroscience is how true that is, because a number of studies have shown that we actually attend to and retain up to 10 words at a time. So when we're speaking to someone, we definitely need to be clear, brief, and succinct. So what are you trying to communicate? What form should your book take? What chapter should it be divided into? And what should go into each chapter? What will you draw from your experiences, and what research will you do to deepen its quality? This is the process that writers don't usually report. You don't usually see the thinking part, the preparation. Writers may in an interview say that their book just comes out or it just came to them. Well, it doesn't happen in that way. Writing is a creative pleasure, but it's also work. The only thing harder than writing is rewriting. Where? Decide where you will write. Virginia Woolf emphasized the importance of having a room of one's own. Get your space ready. Protect it from intrusions and noise, kind of like your home office for those of you who do coaching. Put one or two things in there to represent your commitment to writing. During the time that you commit to write, protect that space and time from intrusions for your writing time. Unplug your telephone. Don't have any alerts on your cell phone, on your computer. There are a few true emergencies in life. Talking to your buddy about who got kicked off American Idol last night isn't one of them. Plus, it's already outdated. At least not during your writing time. Guard your writing time to allow full immersion. Protect your time, because you have to pay for every yes with at least one no. When? Make an appointment with yourself. Choose a schedule for writing that you're going to be loyal to no matter what. Everyone on earth has one thing in common. Our choices in life define us. Those who provide service to others, such as authors, money managers, therapists, leaders, teachers, coaches, especially parents, have their answers counted many times and with exponential impact. What will yours be? Make it matter. Determine when you're going to focus on this, when you're going to write. When I had a full psychoanalytic practice and saw a dozen people each day, plus teaching, people would ask me when I found time to write. And my answer very sincerely was, to, as gently as possible, to say I never found time to write. I created time. I grew up on a farm and ranch and got up before the sun to feed cattle. And so rising early is still natural for me. During all my years of parenting, I still got up early on Saturday and Sunday morning, so I had maybe 2 to 3 hours to write before my two kids woke up. By then, I was fully ready to turn off my dictaphone, roll on the floor with them, or play outside the rest of the day. Again, during their adolescence, I would be totally available in order to be rendered insignificant and ignored. So it worked then, too. Decide what time of day you write best. Know your biorhythms. Think about when you're most creative. Consider what may be a natural time to write and when you most have the inclination to do other more cognitive things like editing, two different parts of the brain. Writing and editing are two states of mind best not combined. Decide when to do each. So, here's my best piece of advice. Get ready? Just start writing. Start simple, start slow, start now. Perhaps the most literate answer to the when question was offered over 900 years ago by Rashi, the great Torah commentator, who said, whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. How? Recognize your natural style of writing. Are you a visual, auditory, kinesthetic learner? Respect that style as you write. Some of you will do it best visually, like at a keyboard, seeing the words appear on the screen. If you're primarily an auditory person, I'd say use a digital dictation device, because you can talk it into that, you can upload it, and for a penny and a half a word, get iDictate to transcribe it. I've written every drafts and other things by dictaphone. I have a dictaphone wherever I may sit. I mean, my office here, my ranch, car, pickup. I have a number of dictaphones. Wherever I sit down, if I ever have a stray thought that I think might be capturable, it's there. It's dictated. I envision a person or an audience to talk to dictate to. It's natural for me because that's the way I spend my day, talking to people, and have been all my professional life. Earlier I did it in therapy analysis, now I do it in coaching. So I then use that dictation device. If you think you'll do better writing out longhand, if you're more kinesthetic and use a yellow pad, then get a lot of yellow pads. Consider your work and performance styles. Those are not talked about as much, but I think they're really useful in writing as well as in coaching. You can find a white paper on that topic at my website under the Articles tab. It's called Toward Brain Hardware Optimization at MentorPath. One suggestion, whenever you have a good idea, even if it doesn't come during your specified writing time, write it down, capture it, get it into typed form. Research on memory tells us a new idea or fact lasts an average of 40 seconds in short-term memory. And unless you write it down to review, after that it's gone. Get it in the output channel. Concretize it. You've had probably the experience of, well, you think of a great phrase or a really, really catchy way to say something and think, I'll remember that later. And later never comes. And, you know, since this crisis by everybody moving to what we have already moved to, telecommunications, home office, internet, that meant that it made official my uniform of the last decade and a half, cargo shorts. Every cargo short I have has one of the little moleskins and a pen in it. And I came to that by realizing there are times I want to write down something and it's too much for pulling out the back of a business card. Usually I would follow around my wife and we'd be talking about something. She'd say something brilliant and I wanted to plagiarize it. All I need to do is pull out my moleskin now. So have a way to capture in whatever your style is. One principle we know from coaching, when people are asked what they intend to do, they're more likely to act according to how they answer. If you ask somebody the day before an election if they intend to vote, it increases the probability of their going to vote by 25%. In a study of 40,000 subjects, the question, do you intend to buy a new car? Being asked that question increased purchase rates over the next 3 months by 35%. Your commitment to yourself. Write down each of these who, what, where, when, and how. Specifically address your intention and plan. Make an appointment with yourself and keep it with the same loyalty that you do an appointment with your doctor, your dentist, an accountant, your clients. I'm talking about a monthly, weekly, and daily schedule. If you do it daily, from when to when specifically, because you need to stick with it. Make a plan, stick with it. If you write 3 times a week, 5 times a week, Write it down, put it on your calendar. That's a commitment. And it's something like going to work. You don't debate every day whether you go to work or not. You do it because it's just part of your routine. Same with your commitment to writing. Same with if you've done this for wellness. Same as you work out each day. You don't view yourself virtuous if you do it. You don't bargain with yourself and say, well, I'm going to really start next Tuesday. It's down. You do it. You create a system and you stick with it. You don't have to be motivated, but you need a system and you need to stick to it. Writing does not come through inspiration. It happens when you decide to sit down and write. Clarissa Pinkola Estes said, to be ourselves causes us to be exiled by many others, and yet to comply to what others want causes us to be exiled from ourselves. So, in terms of creativity, there's a natural innate energy inside each of us to create. When we get in the flow of this kind of experience, we open ourselves to creativity, allow our internal experiences to flow through whatever channels are natural, words, pictures, movement. As you begin the process of your book, don't compare your inside to somebody else's outside. Somebody else's outside may be a complete book. And when you pick up the book to read it, it's going to seem daunting. That author did not begin with that complete book. He or she began with an idea, then crafted a few lines, then reworked again and again. A brief story. One of my buddies is Janine Roth, who has written a number of New York Times bestsellers, and we've collaborated on a couple of these. And she was my guest for a mastermind group that I did with some of the people I've trained as financial coaches and wellness coaches. And she was talking about doing a book, and she was responding to a question that one of the coaches asked her about editing. And she said something, I didn't even know this. She said she has a cottage at the back of her home and writes out there. She said, I never let anything be seen by anyone else, and this includes her agent, any of her readers, and I've been fortunate to be until I've edited it a minimum of 30 times. It has been through a minimum of 30 edits. A great deal of thinking, a great deal of reading are required to write a book. Writers, in discussing their books after they're published, they omit stuff. They omit the work. And we call that a nostalgia bias. Nostalgia is remembering not as it was, but better than it was, sort of airbrushed memories on an idealized stage. When we compare our inside, our hope for a book, with their outside, it's not apples to apples. And again, no one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down and write a few sentences. You do it for an hour, and you fulfill your commitment. You do it the same time the next time you have a commitment. So I want to conclude with 10 caveats for writers. The most important thing about a plan is having one. The second most important thing about a plan is sticking to it. 2, write every day. It will help you think like a writer. 3, read every day. It will help you think like a writer communicating to a reader. 4, write in a voice that sounds like you. Writing's not a contest. It's a transaction between two people, you and the reader. So sound like yourself and be yourself. It's easy when you're talking into a dictaphone because I'm envisioning somebody. But whatever your style is, be yourself. If you don't say indeed, don't write it. If you don't usually say one would think, then don't write it. Use language simply and warmly. You'll be able to make any subject clear by reducing it to good English. A clear, simple sentence is no accident. And Janine will tell you, it's a lot of work. How you write will be how you're perceived. Your writing may be your only way to introduce yourself to someone whose business or trust or affection or money is what you want. In fact, after we got married, my second wife, and I had been married like 15 years, we were talking about it. She said, "Do you happen to know how I fell in love with you?" I said, I have absolutely no clue. She said, "It was when I read your book about being a parent." And I was absolutely astonished. I thought it was me. But seven, keep the burden. I'm serious about what she said, though. Seven, keep the burden of clarity. Writing is about creating meaning. Rewriting is about crafting meaning to make it optimally useful and accessible for the reader. Plan from the beginning to keep the burden of clarity of communication yourself. That's why we do edits. We keep all that burden ourselves so our reader doesn't have to work at it. And you know with your experience, if you have to work at it a little bit too hard, put in a little bit too much of your cognitive bank of energy, you vote with your feet. You're out of there. So don't shift to the reader or listener. In this way, you maintain the ownership of the responsibility to your reader. Have the end in mind from the beginning. In the film The Lookout, Lewis, a blind guy, helps his mentally challenged roommate make sense of things by thinking of his day as a story. Lewis said, "Start at the end. Can't tell a story if you don't know where it's going." 9, take some positive action toward your goal every day, even if it's just one. At the end of the month, you have 30 completed actions. If you just write 2 paragraphs a day, you'll have 60 paragraphs, and that's a bunch. That's a West Texas literary term, by the way. 10, decide what you want. Believe it's possible. A belief is a filter between reality and our perception. A belief is the mind's command to the brain, the software program that determines our behavior. We now know that beliefs can actually turn genes on or off. And highlight this equation in your outline because it will help you with coaching as well, but it right now is for the purpose of authoring your book. Beliefs drive behavior. Behavior drive performance. You can change your life and you can write a book by changing your beliefs. Our possibilities are only limited to the ones we allow ourselves to see. And here's a final story I want to conclude with. A destitute young housewife had almost no money. Her book idea came to her when she was on a train, but she didn't have a pen, and she was too shy to ask anybody to borrow a pen, so she forgot some of the most important initial aspects of her story. Then she couldn't afford a babysitter or a computer, but she had a story to tell, and she was determined to do it, and decided to write. As soon as she started writing, her mother died at age 45 from multiple sclerosis. Her marriage to an abusive husband ended in a divorce. Shortly after that, she had a miscarriage. After that, she got fired from her job and lived on government welfare. She took her baby to a coffee shop in the middle of the afternoon and wrote on a legal pad while her baby napped. She did it every day for 4 years. And then, after much work, she finally found a publisher for Harry Potter. And her last book sold 11 million copies in the first hour, the record for all of history. She became the first billionaire author. So here's what I'd like you to do in the next 24 hours. Yes, this is an assignment, okay? Sketch 2 things. Sketch the cover of your book. The title, subtitle, and your name. Draw it. Be sure and put your name there. And 2, sketch that book on a shelf at a bricks and mortar bookstore or on a table at the back of the room where you present, if that's your goal. Do those 2 sketches. in the next hour, in the next 24 hours. We're in conversation mode. We don't have as much time as I'd hope, but I'm eager to hear any thoughts or questions or clarifications. Just very briefly, or my challenge will be me to be brief. And any thoughts or questions that any of you have? Is this making sense to you so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
These are questions. They're helpful and they guide me. I'm sorry, I spoke over someone. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a question. You mentioned two. One was a webcast, I think. The other one was where to look up something else. But I didn't understand where we can find both of those items.
I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Both of what items?
You had mentioned two things that we can look up. One was, I believe, a webinar, and the other one was something to read.
I'm having a little trouble. You see if this is an answer to your question. I mentioned two references other than in your outline and the resources you have. One is a webinar on the homepage of my website, Mentor Path. It's a webinar, a 30-minute free webinar called Master States of Mind. There's an outline to download, and it contains the one-page thing that I mentioned that might be helpful. This. The other article toward brain hardware optimization is under the articles tab of my website, and that can be printed from that or downloaded from that website. Did I hear you enough? Is that the answer to your question?
You heard me, except I'm not sure how to spell your website, Mentor What?
Yes, okay.
I didn't understand.
Here goes. Mentor
yes.
Path. MENTORPATH. It's on the signature line of the email that I sent everyone with these two questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Anything else? If you don't mind,
I have a question. You said regarding the dictation software.
Okay.
How do we go about finding them, or how do you find them?
I'll tell you what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I simply use a digital dictation device. I use a little $69 Olympus, and every one of mine are basically the same that I get from Amazon. And I upload the dictation, and I like that way better than an iPhone or anything else, because I can turn it on and off without even looking at it with my thumb while I'm driving. That's okay. And I upload it at my computer to idictate.com, just the little I and then dictate.com. You set up an account with your credit card, you upload it, and they charge you a very reasonable fee, and they send you back in 24 hours the transcript of the dictation. There's also a if you want a rush or super rush, they'll do it for more pennies per word and do it within an hour. I'm sorry, you're still talking. Am I not answering your question? Be aware.
I'm not talking. Be aware of
the background noise. If you're not asking a question or responding, please mute, because you can kind of forget and leave an open mic. And this is not an open mic performance tonight. Turn on the mic if you have a question. I tell you what, we're over, and I want to respect that. Any other questions?
A quick question, Dave.
Yes.
This is Benita.
Hey,
a quick question.
Go ahead, Benita.
I'm okay.
Yes.
On the email you sent, it says HTTP for course outline and the online playback. Is that available now, or do we wait until you post it? Because I clicked it, but I didn't see it, the handout.
Okay. The outline is available immediately. The four ports are for where the recordings will be posted. That should be tomorrow. It should be within 24 hours. So if any of you have any difficulty, let me know. Any other questions, things that you want to comment about or answer those questions that I mentioned, please email me, and I promise I'll take them into account.
Thank you so much.
And Benita, if you have any trouble with that, let me know.
I will.
See. Oh,
okay. All right.
Good evening.
Okay, thank you guys. Thanks for the enthusiasm and engagement. I really appreciate it. It means a great deal, and I'm eager to hear from you, so don't hesitate to.
Steve?
Yeah.
Can I ask
you
a question? Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Excellent.